God, you really are so good. And we just bow before you today, God, because we can't even believe, God, that we are your children and that you love us so much. And today, God, I just pray that you will continue to pour out your spirit in this place, God. We want to hear from you. We want to see you. And God, we just want to exalt your name because you are so great and you are so holy. And we praise you today. Amen.
Testing. Just want to make a quick announcement. Lift Up Red Deer, Thursday at 7 o'clock over here at the Memorial Center. The Memorial Center doors, as you go there, we'll be meeting on, there's a little room over here called the Cat Production. So we're going to be inside there. We got room for 60 only. Only for 60, so. Amen? So, but I just encourage us, come on out and pray. I believe there's things going on in the city, and the only reason why they're going on in the city is because of the prayer. Amen? Amen. So you're all welcome, and just come. Amen? Bless you.
Amen. And Crystal has a quick announcement about the women's retreat.
Yes, the women's retreat is coming up quickly. In fact, not this next weekend, but the next weekend, March 4 to 6. So if you're interested, please see me. I have to have numbers by next Sunday. So even if you can't pay, even whatever, just let me know so I can tell people or tell the lodge place how many people are coming. And if you lost your registration form or if you want another one, I have some. So, but I'm also doing Sunday school, so if you want to see me, come see me after church. Thanks.
Okay, do we get that? All right. Are we glad we're here? Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and for the power of your Spirit. Thank you that we can worship you and that everything we bring to him is just acceptable. Not because we're so great, not because we're so talented, but because of the blood of Jesus. You know, when he washes us, everything that we offer him is pure and it's holy in his sight again. Isn't that great news? I've been thinking a lot about gratitude, and I just want to spend a little time this morning on gratitude. And it's going to help, actually, to lead into Pauline's message this morning, because gratitude is such a powerful thing in our lives, and when it's missing in your life, everything is missing. Let me just tell you that. If you don't have gratitude in your life, you won't have joy, you won't have peace, you'll still be conflicted, there's still going to be all kinds of issues and problems and addictions, and so much in our lives depend on gratitude, and that's why, you know, the number one command that God gives us in his word is be grateful. Be thankful. Lift him up. You know, think about the things that God has done in your lives. And you know, I know that sometimes what happens in our lives is we do the shuffle. We just shuffle through life and we're just miserable. We're not happy. We're grumbling. We're not united. You know, if there's no gratitude, we're not going to stand as one either. I think we underestimate, when I read the Bible, I believe we underestimate the power of gratitude, how important it is that we just every single day lift up God. I've been practicing this, and it's been the most important thing that's been in my life just in the last little while, is when I'm going through a hard time or when I can't sleep or when I'm struggling with something that's just really just hard and it's just difficult or whatever it is, you just start thanking God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my wife. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you for my church. Thank you, God, for my work. Thank you for the place I live. Thank you for the food I ate today. Thank you that there's food in the freezer, God. Thank you that you've provided me with all the things that I have, right? You start to do that, and the gratitude starts to swell. And, you know, David said, I will fulfill my vows before all the people, and I will lift up a thank offering to God. Right? I will sacrifice a thank offering to God in the presence of his people. And that's what we're going to do this morning. And this is how we're going to do it. So don't be freaked out, Susan, because you're going to come and help me. Honestly. Yeah, honestly. You. No, you. Come on up a minute. I need a chair. Would you just put a chair here? I'm going to ask you today to come forward. Come here. You'll find out. I promise you won't get, well, I'm not going to promise you won't get wet, but there's water in there. Here's what we're going to do. And these have to be short, so please just think about that. This is about God. You're not saying thank you to the people. You're thanking God today. So we're going to thank God. As we thank God, you're going to come forward. I'm going to hold the mic. You're going to say what you're thankful for. And it can be just one word. It can be a few words. It cannot be any more than a minute, because then we won't all get a chance. So I want to have this opportunity. We're going to offer a thank offering to God. Isn't that something we should do? God's going to bless this. There's going to be something good that comes out of it. And here's what we're going to do. Susan, you have very little to do, but hold this. Can you hold that? All right. We're going to come, and when you come forward, and I hope right now already, you're thinking about what you're grateful for. What are you thankful for? We're going to have a row of people. You take a cup, take the water, and start filling this measuring cup. Will you do that? Because this is how we're going to offer a thank offering to God today. You're going to fill that cup, or you can take half of it, or whatever. Just put some water. Whatever you do, you say, God, I'm thankful. I'm grateful for what you're doing in my life, or I'm thankful how you've healed me, or I thank you that you've provided me with a place to live, or with friends. Whatever your thing is, you take it, you fill your cup, and you start filling Susan's cup. And I'll start. And you can start coming forward, and you can just kind of, why don't we make a line over this way? Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, God, today, because you are a God who restores. Because you are a God who loves us even when we don't deserve to be loved. I want to thank you, God, because you surround me with godly people.
I'm thankful for God for saving my family and for saving me and for the church people here. I'm just thankful for its love and for its covering and everything. And its covering.
There we go.
Its covering and its love and its saving my husband. And I'm just thankful that God's moving and really moving in my life. And I just love him to pieces. And I love everybody here. Hallelujah. Thank God for your guys' prayers and everything for us. Amen. And thankful.
Amen. Amen. Okay, here we go. Wanda. It's okay. You can clap if you want, because that's a clap offering. We're not clapping for her. We're clapping for God.
I just want to thank God today for saving my life and bringing me to Potter's Hands, where I've met all these great people to love and support me.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, I don't know what to say, but I'm going to say this. Since I've come to the Lord, my heart is so fulfilled, and I'm so blessed to be around people that are so holy. I cannot want to be in another place but this place or any place so long as I am serving the Lord, the mightiest of mighty, the greatest of greatest. If I had a drink in my hand, I would certainly bow to my Lord and give him thanks for everything in my life that now that I'm with the Lord. For if I'm with the Lord, there's no one that can be against me.
All right, no, put it back. No.
I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful that I have people in my life that I can trust. And I'm just grateful to be here and grateful to see everybody. Thank you.
Amen. We love you, Lenny. Thank you, God.
What are you thankful for?
I got one big thing to thank him for is this church, my church. This is my church and all our church. Everyone who's here is a brother and sister to me. Amen? No enemies, no enemies. Thank you, Jesus.
We offer this to God, right? Hallelujah.
I've got a lot of things to be thankful for, and I can't even start naming off most of them. When he brought me back to this city and put me to work in loaves and fishes and put me to work with Stan, I am never been good at that part. I just thank all of you for being here and for allowing the Spirit to flow so very freely in this place. Thank you, God.
Yes, so give him a hand. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, good morning. I'm thankful for stepdaughters who love me in spite of me. And, I'm thankful for grandkids. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm thankful to the Lord for delivering my son from drug addiction and ordering his steps for the future.
Amen. Thank you, God, for victory over addictions. Can we say amen to that? Yeah. Hallelujah. There is victory. And I'm just going to throw in there, too, that I'm thankful that Ted is well. He's going to do his own thing. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder, buddy.
I'm thankful for deliverance from addiction and for my family and my kids and for God's love.
Another great story. Thank you, God.
I'm thankful for the Lord for bringing me back and opening my heart and my ears.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
I'm thankful that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus, who's the only name by whom we can be saved. And I'm thankful that he doesn't want nobody to perish, that he will bring all our children and relatives to his son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your life and your love and your salvation, a free gift to everyone who wants it. Thank you for smiling on me.
Yeah, and he is, Ralph. He's smiling on you. He loves you. Amen. Amen.
Well, I want to just thank God for the mighty Holy Spirit that indwells us, indwells me. I thank God for my children, my grandchildren. And thank you, God, for the blessing of allowing me to minister here at the Potter's Hands Ministry and at the kitchen and throughout the week. I just give you praise, the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thankful for my health, and I'm thankful very much for my family.
For Anita's health and for her family, we just say thank you, God. And I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you, he says. Amen? That's so good, right?
5 years ago, through regular checkup, they found out I had prostate cancer. And I was lucky, or not lucky, but I say that I was blessed that they caught it in time. They removed my prostate gland. I didn't need any chemo or radiation or anything. Then last spring, through regular checkup again, they found cancer in my bowels. And just December 9th, they removed a section of my bowel and tested the lymph nodes, and they caught it in time. There was nothing in my lymph nodes. So I don't need chemo or radiation for that either. So I'm just thankful to the Lord for his blessings and healing and healing through the doctors. And thanks.
This one we got to stop on for a second, okay? We just got to, let's just really thank God. God, all we can do is say thank you. You are a mighty God. You're amazing. You heal. Just the idea, the truth, that when we pray, you hear us. That when we cry to you, you bend your ear because you want to know everything that is in our hearts. I am so grateful, and I just join with my brother today, thanking you for his healing, thanking you that you have touched him, that you have restored him. We pray, God, for many more years for Ted, and that he will continue to serve you in his kingdom, and that you will receive all the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
I just praise God for my family, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. And I just praise God for being in my life. You know, times when I sit at home alone and I'm lonely and I say to God, I'm so lonely. And he says, but I'm here. And you know, then I can talk to him. Pretty soon that loneliness goes away. So I'm so grateful he meets my needs. Praise God.
Well, I'm thankful Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. God's been so faithful in my life ever since I got saved in my mid-20s from a rather wild life. And God's been faithful throughout everything. Everywhere we go, we meet family, new friends, great brothers and sisters. So God is good, and I'm thankful for that.
I'm thankful for friends that who will hold the cup for me. I have a million things that I'm grateful for. Most of all, the presence of God. His precious nearness is just something that you can never, ever take for granted and never be enough thankful for, I think. But I'm also so thankful for all the new friends that we have made since we came to Red Deer. And God is blessing us, and he is so faithful. That was my word that my husband said. Great is thy faithfulness is my absolute favorite song forever and ever.
Morning. I'm thankful for just life in general. Even though being a screw-up that I am sometimes, life is more enjoyable when I'm around God. Amen. And one other thing I'm thankful for is we finally got Stan back up here. Hey,
thanks, Doc.
Okay. I'm thankful for water. I am thankful that his mercies are new every morning. His grace is sufficient. His love is all-consuming. I'm thankful, so thankful for this church, my brothers and sisters, my pastor. So thankful. My kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids, and the plans that he has for all of us. And, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, right? Thank you, God. We're going to offer this to you, God. You are worthy of our praise. You have one job, right? Don't let any of this spill. That's your job.
I'm thankful for Susan. I'm thankful, too, that we have the promise that the Spirit of the living God is inside of us, and that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work within us. And I am thankful. I'm thankful for the angels that he surrounds us with and that he protects us with. I'm thankful for family. Yeah.
You're blessed.
Hello. Hi. Just kidding. Oh, I'm so thankful for my identity in Christ. You know what? When we're born into this world, the enemy will try to steal our identity. You know why? Because opinions of everybody else will affect us. Looks of people will affect us. But even though we don't see our Father, we can't see how his look over us favor is in favor, you know? And I'm thankful for the struggle that I went through just this now, because now, through that struggle, I searched in the Word of God of who I am in Christ. And through that struggle, I know my identity. And through that, I am thankful my identity is in Christ Jesus. And no weapon formed against me will prosper. No more looks, no more oppression will prosper for any other of you either. In Jesus' name, Rick.
I'm thankful for life, free country, a safe job.
Amen. Hey, Susan, I don't want you to spill anything, okay? Just make sure. You're doing a good job, Susan. I don't think there's going to be a problem.
I'm thankful for
being freed from 23 years of addiction. And I'm thankful that, God has carried me through the loss of my son. And I'm just thankful for that.
Just a minute. I'm going to do this too. You can clap. That's okay. Yeah. God, we just want to take a moment here too. I thank you for Mike. I thank you for the restoring work you're doing in his life. I thank you that you set him free. I thank you, God, that he belongs here. He belongs here because he belongs to you. And he is a brother, and he is a son of the living God. And I just declare that over him today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Try not to shake, okay, Susan?
I'm thankful for two beautiful children and that Jesus is with me every day and that I don't have to feel alone and that he provides miraculously for my needs every day. And I just can't thank him enough for that, that he's given me enough to even to share.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Sherry. Okay, just before the next one, I want you to remember what Psalm 23 says. He says that he's my shepherd. You know that it's the psalm that's written by a sheep, right? A sheep writes it. The Lord is my shepherd. And in that psalm, it says, you know, that he sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And then what does it say? My cup overflows, right? He anoints my head with oil, and my cup will overflow. Today, as we offer him a thank offering, and there's about four or five left or two or three left, our cup is overflowing. I wanted you to see it actually happen. And I want you to know, when you're in this situation and your cup overflows and you have nothing but gratitude and it's just pouring out, there's only one thing you can do. Yeah, you can let it go. I guess there's two things you can do. But this is the other thing you can do. My cup overflows, and I just want to drink it in, God. It says in the Bible says that taste and see that the Lord is good. And your cup, if you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but your cup is overflowing. Maybe you haven't paid attention to it. Maybe you've been grumbling. Maybe you've been preoccupied with other things or filled with self-pity or anger or unforgiveness. Your cup really is overflowing. But you just got to have your eyes open to see it. Amen? You've got three left here.
I have a lot of things to be thankful for, a lot. Like this church, my friends, prayers, my kids, my... But like I think that with me, I am thankful more for my trials that I've been through and going through. Because with that, I've learned about gratitude and being humble, and the wisdom that I got from God and he's giving me, just to accept everything and be thankful of everything and became every circumstances that I have and become a person that I am and knowing that God is always, always there for me. That's all I am thankful for.
I'm really thankful for my mom. She's really hardworking, so that's really good to have, and for God's grace and mercy.
Yeah. We can all say amen to that. You're a blessed family. Thank you, God. Jeff.
I am thankful for the edification. I am thankful for the exhorting. And I'm thankful for the correction that comes from the prophetic word.
Let it overflow, God. Let's pray together. Ooh, God, thank you. Let it overflow, God. Just let it pour out, God. Thank you, God. Our gratitude, Lord, we open our hearts to you today, and all we can do is just want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you're the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Thank you that you meet every need that we have. Thank you, God, that you know our prayers. You know the hidden things in our hearts. and that you care about every one of them. Thank you, God, for this family that you're building and rebuilding. Thank you for the power of your Spirit, the Spirit that moves, the Spirit that heals, the Spirit that proclaims your word. And we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the gratitude because you are worthy, God. You are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give him a big hand. Amen. What a mess. I think I owe you a new pair of shoes. Oh, we'll get it later. I'm going to ask Pauline to come up. This is a great way for us to get prepared for God's word. I just know it, you know, and I hope that and I believe that gratitude is starting to swell inside of our hearts and swell in us as a congregation. And I just want to pray for brother here as he brings the word of God. God, your word is one of the things that we're the most grateful for. Your word is truth. Your word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. And so we ask you to speak, God. Just speak through the word and through the Spirit today so that we hear what's on the heart of God, what you have for us. Lord, just speak and encourage us and correct us and just draw us. Draw us to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And be with Paul and God. Give him the words. Let the Spirit of Christ, let the Spirit of God flow in our brother today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I trust everybody is blessed here in this house today. God is here. As two or three are gathered together in his name, seeking his face, he promised that he'll be present. So today, I bless all of you who have come in the name of the Lord to the house of the Lord to hear his voice. Because his voice is truth and his voice is life. I'll just read one verse from the scripture, actually from the Old Testament. If you have your Bible, you can turn to the book of Job. And it is, the book of Job, and it is in chapter 22. And we'll read together. Never mind, even though you have different version or translation of the Bible. Job 22 and verse 28. If you are ready. I'll make a count of 1, 2, 3, and then we'll read in unison that verse, Job 22 and verse 28. 1, 2, 3. What you decide on will be done, and light will shine on your ways. May God add blessings to the reading of his word. That is the version from NIV. But if you read other translation like King James, it says there, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Let me read again. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Let us pray. Father God, you are the owner of this word. Your word is living, and it has a quickening power into our life. We just open our heart to welcome that living word, that you may touch through your word the life of your people here in this church. We give you all the glory We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be talking about decree or decision or determination or order today. Normally, a decree can be issued by an authoritative body or by a prince or princess or queen or prime minister. And then everybody has got to comply to a decree that is issued. You might say today, well, I'm just a man on the street. I'm not a high-ranking person. I'm not a governor. I'm not a VIP. Might be true physically, but many of you are very influential here. But spiritually speaking, in the spiritual realm, let's not forget the fact that Jesus, through his death on the cross, he has made everyone who has welcomed him to be the Lord and Savior in his life to be the king and the queen in his kingdom. And let's remember also there is a verse in the book of Revelation chapter 1. And it is in verse 6. You can jot it down or can turn to it or read it at home. But it says, Revelation 1, 6, and he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So you've been made king or queen. You've been made priest in his kingdom. We are kings, we are princes, we are queens, not by selection, not because some people select you to be kings or queens. You are kings and queens not because of election. Normally, in this world, you see somebody is the upper position because of the election. But let's remember the Bible says we are made kings and queens because of divine appointment from the Lord. Anybody who is elected, anybody who is nominated or selected to be king in this world can be voted out of power. Look at the situation many or some years ago in the Middle East. Look at the situation in some other parts of the world. A king or someone or a monarch can be voted out of power. He can be toppled down from his position. And talking about that position by divine appointment from God to you and to me, because you are made princes and kings in this kingdom, you have the right to make decree, or you can decree things in and out. That's the good news today. And many of us do not remember that. But my brothers and my sister, let's remember this again. We are fighting with the forces of darkness every day, day and night. You need to pray not just by doing supplication. You need to pray not just by doing just the normal way of praying. But there's nothing wrong with those, okay? But there is another way of praying also, that is by issuing decrees in faith, and satanic powers will know that you issue those decrees because you have the position of kings in the kingdom of God. You are not, I have read the Bible. There has never been a single verse in the Bible that says that when you pray, you have to plead or make requests or be polite with satanic powers. Never. Don't be polite. Don't be timid. Don't make any pleas or any request, but say to the power of the darkness that you have to release what you have captured from the believers. That's another way of saying you make decrees. You're not even asked to pacify the enemy. Let me tell you today that pacifying prayers no longer work. So you need to have that violent spirit in you. Because you know the power of God in you is bigger than the power of all the forces of hell. And remember also, my brothers and my sisters, once you issue decrees, it cannot, or they cannot be challenged by any court of law. I've read some in some news that here in this world, a decree sometimes can be challenged by any court of law. Even from the country when I come from, I have heard that stuff. So today, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, I want you to know that sister who's sitting at the back said it exactly. If you know your identity in Christ, if you know that you are the child or the son, the daughter of the living God, you need to issue some decrees against some powers of the darkness today. Before I go further, let me tell you that in the Bible, we know we have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. Some people say, I do not want to listen to sermons from the Old Testament because the Old Testament's thing is done away. It's no longer relevant. We have got New Testament already, they say. I just want to listen to the sermons from the New Testament, they say. And maybe some of us think that way today. But let me tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, that those things in the Old Testament are the shadows of things to come in the New Testament. They are figures of things to come or that will come up later to be fulfilled in the New Testament. So I want you today again, you might find this very challenging. You might find this difficult because you have been accustomed maybe in doing praying just by supplications. But today, maybe you will go home and tomorrow and the days after, you will pray differently. You will issue decrees against the powers of the darkness. Make decrees today to the powers like the spirit of Cain. That's in the Old Testament, right? Cain is the one who first killed his own brother. Because of what? Because of jealousy, envying his own brother to the point at last that he killed him. That happened in the household. So household wickedness, which was bent on destroying and killing. We praise God that God has blessed you with families. We praise God we are blessed with sons and daughters, that each one of them, they have good relationship with each other. But let me say that this spirit of Cain is not dead yet. It is still roaming around. And to anyone in the household, to any child in the household, this spirit can come unless he or she is covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. So today, for example, you can say, you can issue a decree in your prayer by saying, let my Cain die in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't sound polite by saying that kind of prayer as an example. In the Old Testament, we know of someone by the name of Ishmael. You can read that in the book of Genesis chapter 6. And starting from verse 11 until 12, it says there, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, her means the mother of Ishmael, which is Hagar, behold, thou art with a child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard thy affliction. And verse 12 says, and listen, what we are having today as our problem is starting point is from this. And verse 12 says, and he will be a wild man. His hand, yes, very much like a donkey, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hands against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So issue a decree or make a declaration by faith today. Say it not just into the air, because the enemies will hear what you proclaim by faith. You can say, every power of Ishmael be disgraced in the name of Jesus Christ. Or you can say something to that effect in your own prayer by decreeing it. In the Old Testament, there was a very famous leader, the leader of the Israel's people, freeing them from Egypt. When they have been there as slaves or most for 100 years, his name was Moses. And this is the third thing that I'd like you to know today. This kind of spirit is called the spirit of Pisgah. Now, tell me more about this spirit of Pisgah, you say. Well, spirit of Pisgah, you know the context, that because of a mistake done by Moses, God asked him, come on, Moses, let's go up to that mountain, and the name of that mountain is Pisgah. And then overlooking that place, they saw the promised land. He saw the promised land. And that's the end of it. He has led this nation out of Egypt. It is Moses who, by the power of God, parting Red Sea. It is him, through his staff, God works wonders and miracles in the lives of these almost 2.5 million people, these Israelites people, and road to the promised land. But now he's standing there on Mount Pisgah, and not given access to go further into the promised land. The meaning is, the spirit of Pisgah is the spirit of failure at the edge of success. Very sad. We do not want this to happen. What God has promised to give you, do not allow the enemy to block that blessing to come unto your life. It is yours. Jesus has died on the cross. His power has demolished this spirit of Pisgah. And I'm now referring to Absalom, still in the Old Testament. But even though that happened many thousands of years ago, we see that this spirit of Absalom is in operation today. You can refer to the book of Samuel if you want to read about Absalom, the son of King David. It's in the 2 Samuel. And verse 15, in chapter 15, verse 14 says, "And David said unto all his servants," at the time David has been king, "that were with him at Jerusalem." That's why he was in Jerusalem as the headquarters. "Arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us." "Suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword." What do I mean by telling you this about this man Absalom, a very handsome, a very good-looking man? Many homes today are broken. Also because of children. I said, praise God, because you have received children and trusted to you as your company, as your friends, to praise God in your house day and night. But no few homes today are suffering because of children. So by Absalom, or by the spirit of Absalom, I mean to say that this is the spirit of strange children attacking or making havoc in the family. See, the enemy is even using children in the family to work against anybody. But don't be disheartened. You have received the power of God. You have received your children as the heritage from God. Hallelujah. You commit your children to God. Amen. And the power of God will touch their heart and their soul, and they will submit their lives to God. I'm reading in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. This is about a counselor, about the advisor to the king. His name is Ahithophel. And it says, "And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel both with David and with Absalom." And verse 31, 2 Samuel 15, 31 says, "And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." Everybody nowadays wants to be an advisor or counselor. But let's be cautious and careful. We need the gift of the Holy Spirit to judge every counsel, every advice that somebody might give to us. This man, Ahithophel, is giving counsel, but not with the good intent. The intent of his heart, even though he is giving counsel, is that he may destroy life. So the spirit of Ahithophel that you need to decree against today is that spirit of evil counselor, they counsel in order to destroy and to make evil against people. Thank God for good friends. Amen. Thank God for good people that are around our life. They can be depended on. They give you good counsel because of love and because they know the truth. You need to decree against that kind of spirit today from your life. In the book of Isaiah, and it is chapter 6, I remember some time ago I preached about this. There was a king, his name is King Uzziah, and that was the time during the reign of King Uzziah, prophet Isaiah lived. And there was a problem. This prophet Isaiah was in the house of the Lord. You can refer to Isaiah 6, verse 1, and it says this. The spirit, you can refer to that verse, but let me just say this. The spirit of Isaiah is the one blocking divine vision. Isaiah could not see the Lord until King Uzziah died. Well, generally, King Uzziah was a very good one during his reign. People prospered. The kingdom prospered. But then he got pride. It got into his head. And that was the time when Isaiah could not see the Lord, even though he is in the house of the Lord. So there is a kind of spirit today operating that hinders someone, that hinders a believer from receiving the best from the Lord. That hinders divine vision. We need divine vision from the Lord. And there is a kind of spirit that want to erase also divine vision from our life. So we need to be watchful. We need to be guarded by the blood of the Lamb. Well, God's prescription is always the same. He said, your King Uzziah has got to die. If King Uzziah in my life is still on the throne, I will not be able to see the face of God. I'll not be able to see vision from the Lord. So decree today by faith, say, King Uzziah, from my life, you have got to be the throne. You have got to die. And only after that, the Bible says, in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah saw the Lord. Still from the Old Testament, I'm talking about Pharaoh. You know Pharaoh? In spite of the fact that 10 plagues have been taking place to his country, to his people, but he never let go of the people of God. The meaning? there is today a kind of spirit in operation which is very stubborn, that keeps pursuing the people of God. Keeps pursuing and trailing you night and day. You need to destroy them by the blood of Jesus. You know the right place for that kind of spirit? Spirit of Pharaoh? Destroy them and drown them in the Red Sea. And after that, you can dance for joy, the joy of the Lord. Remember the setting? After all these people of Pharaoh, including Pharaoh, got drawn in the Red Sea, and then the people of God have reached the other end, they dance for joy. And this is time, brothers and sisters, that you dance for joy in the Spirit, because the power of God is on your life. Because the power of God is greater than the power of Pharaoh. Pharaoh means Satan. Pharaoh means the old life. Pharaoh means bondage, or whatever that comes from the kingdom of darkness. It is time to dance for joy. It is time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now let me talk a little bit about Herod, still from the Old Testament, but through today in the New Testament. You know Herod? That's the guy that kills good things at the infancy. When Jesus was born, he made a promulgation. He said that every baby 2 years and under should be killed. Because he wanted to get Jesus, right? So meaning to say that this kind of spirit, spirit of Herod, is the spirit that wants to kill good things at the very early start. In other words, this is the kind of spirit that wants to destroy callings and potentials. I pray to God that the people of God here, that you may continue to prosper, to flourish in your callings and in your potentials. You can do wonders because you have been called to do the work of God for His glory. But this kind of spirit, spirit of Herod, still in operation today. And this is also the kind of spirit that wants to amputate good things. You know, the spirit of amputation? Whatever is good wants to amputate. Don't allow this kind of spirit to do his operation again. Talking about Herod, again, in the New Testament, there's another Herod. And this guy named Herod is also the one, but this different Herod, okay? Different from the one that I spoke earlier. He's the one that cut the head off John the Baptist. That's another Herod. You can read that in the book of Matthew, chapter 14. And when Jesus was being tried, it was Herod also that mocked Jesus. His name is Herod. In the book of Acts, it is also another Herod, his name was Herod, that killed James, the brother of Jesus. No wonder if you are a wise man, if you are a wise people, just like at the time when Jesus was born, the wise man did not return to Herod giving report. No. Never give him any report. Never go back to Herod. And I'm now talking about the spirit of Haman. And in 5 minutes, I will end this message so that we may have a little bit of our time, I will invite you with the permission of the pastors and elders here that we may make a line here in front. Anybody can come. I want people also, those of you, you can make decree over someone coming here. You can make also a decree against things that the Spirit of God is telling you is trying to make havoc in the life of the people standing on the line. So let me talk a little bit more about this kind of spirit, which is the spirit of Haman. Haman was the guy during Esther, when she was the queen, right? Spirit of Haman talks about the spirit of untimely death. Everybody should die. Everybody should go home. But I do not want to die an untimely death. You need to pray that God may continue to lead your life during the days here on earth, so that the hands of the enemy cannot come touching you to give you untimely death. But this guy by the name of Haman, he has this kind of spirit. He wanted to kill people. He wanted to kill Jewish people, Israelites. He made plots. And the enemy is trying to make plots also against believers day and night. Let's remember that. He even prepared the instruments of torture and death. I think very much like the spirit of Hitler, maybe. I don't know. In Esther chapter 3, you can read that Haman plotted against Mordecai. But everything turned against himself. Praise the Lord. Your enemy could make a scheme or bad plan against you, but you are the child of the king. That bad scheme, that bad plan of the enemy can turn against themselves, and they can even die because of their own bad plans. And this is what God is doing, I believe, for his chosen people, Israel. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Some nations may plot against the people of God, against Israel. But God is not silent in heaven. He can turn the plans of the wicked nations against them. And each of them, once against the other, these wicked nations will destroy themselves. I've read the Bible. That's the mode of operation done by God to protect his people. Do you know Goliath? I'll say this and then I will end. And then I'll make an invitation or altar call. Pastor can come here, elders can come here, and some of you, or maybe all of you, can come here. Then we'll pray together. We'll issue decrees. We'll make declaration in faith. We'll issue the word of God over your life. But let me say this one thing, the spirit of Goliath. You know Goliath, that big guy? Goliath, yes, Goliath. And then the small guy, David. And then this guy, Goliath, was tumbled down by David. Spirit of Goliath is the spirit in operation today. That's the spirit which is mountainous or gigantic or giant problem that you may be facing today in your life. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's your home, your children, your job, your health, your finance, situation, I don't know, name it, but you know, whoever it is, whatever it is, this Goliath spirit that you might be facing, greater is the power of God that is in you. You are the David of God. If you issue the word of God against the enemy, against Goliath, he will tumble down. He might be boasting, he might be cursing your life, he might be threatening you, but again, let me say, the Spirit of God is greater than anyone, than any spirit in the world. With this, I will end my message, but one thing you must do today before I ask you to come. You cannot issue decrees effectively if you have not surrendered your whole life to God. Do you want to make a surrender to God today? Mm-hmm. If you have never, for the first time, surrendered your life to Jesus, you can do it today. If you have never received Jesus as your Savior for the first time, you can do it today, and then you can have God's power in your life, and you can issue just like a king, because you are the son or the daughter of a king. You can issue decree. You can make declaration based on your identity as the child of the king. Amen. So can I see any hand if you have never surrendered your life to God? For the first time ever. If you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is the day. You can receive his power. You can receive him in your life. You can receive life, the same power in God operating in your life, residing in you. Any hand? For the first time, praise God. You are all believers. You may be active in the church. You may call yourself Christians. But you do not have an encounter with Jesus. My brothers and my sisters, you need to have an encounter with Jesus. And only by that, you can have the power of this decree working out from your life. You can claim redemptive power in the sacrifice of Jesus that he made on the cross for you. Ask him today to take control of your life. Examine yourself. There might be some areas in your life that need Jesus' touch in your life today. And then he'll give you his power. And I congratulate you today, my brothers and sisters, for the heart that you have given to him, for the life that you have given to him, and for the place of his power in your heart today. So Pastor Stan and elders, if you can, please also help me. We'll ask people to come forward. Can you please? And many of you, those of you, brothers and sisters, who are mature in the Lord, you can also pray for the people, issue a decree for them. Make a decree of blessing, health, prosperity, joy. You can issue even those short sentences. Short, but to the point. So come, my brothers and sisters. The floor is open. Come. Come to the Lord. We'll pray for you. We'll issue decrees. While we sing, and then many of you from some parts of this place, come forward, please. You can make a line here. You can pray. Issue decrees in the name of the Lord.
You say amen?
Amen.
You know, I got a real sense that Paul Ann has He's not the nicest guy in the world. He's got a real way of telling the enemy where he needs to be. And maybe, you know, while he's here and you have this opportunity, why don't you avail yourself of that? Come to the front. Maybe there's something that needs to get out of your life. There's a spirit. There's a demonic force. There's a voice. It's his time to say, get gone, you know. It is finished. We prayed that earlier. It is finished. I don't want this anymore. We have some people praying. There's Alvin and there's Doug. And maybe Darcy and Kirsten, would you guys come up as well? Be willing to pray? It's time to say goodbye to those demonic spirits, those voices. Yeah? We're going to end with this song and just remembering today how powerful God is. He is, we've heard it many times, he is much more powerful than the enemy. Greater is he who is in you than the one who's in the world. Amen? Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder, you can stand, consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the years.